I just want to, if you want to open your Bibles, you might have them open already in Exodus 15, verses 22 to 27. The story that Brian read to us is the start of a journey with this particular group of people towards the Promised Land. It's happened literally just, they've just left Egypt. They've just come through the Red Sea. They've just experienced probably the biggest mix of emotions a people group could probably have experienced, with fear and trembling as they saw the Egyptians running after them, and then this whole incredible encounter of the water parting. And then we come through the other side, and here the story picks up, where Moses leads the Israelites into the desert, and they go for 3 days without finding water. This is quite a serious situation when you think of 3 days in heat, probably. It's pretty, pretty desperate. And it's very interesting that when you walk in and you see something, and I'm sure they probably saw this little, it looked like an oasis. It looked like this piece of, I don't know if it was a lake or whatever, of water, and thought, oh my goodness, this is it, we found it. It's amazing. That hope, that expectation to walk over there. Maybe word started filtering through these people from the front to the back. We found water, we found water, we found water. And then they get to the water and it wasn't what they hoped it would be. It wasn't drinkable. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that where you see something in the distance and you think, that's it, that's it. And then you get there, and it's not what you hoped it would be. It's a little bit like hill walking. I don't know if any of you like hill walking. I have climbed many, many Munros in my life. I know it's hard to believe. I don't talk about it very much because it was so long ago. I don't think I've climbed Munros since I got married to my husband. But I think in my early 20s, I wish I should have documented them all. I've climbed many. And I remember, particularly when you're climbing Munros in Scotland, these big hills. And anyone who's a hill walker will tell you this, and agree with me, that you get up there and you climb the hill and you look to the top and it's amazing. You're like, I can't wait to get up there. And you're climbing and you're climbing and your legs are sore, you're hungry, you're tired. If you're a true hill walker, you'll do it no matter what the weather. But particularly if it's a bad day, you get to the top of the hill and then you realise there's another one. And it's so disheartening to think, am I going to turn back or am I going to keep going? And here you have these people all come together, just desperate for something to drink. Desperate. 3 days is a long time. You're talking on the edge here. The hopes and the feelings all getting dashed off. We are actually going to die here if we don't get water. And then finding that water and finding that it's not, they can't drink it. It's not clean. When the Israelites came to this bitter water, they did what you and I or anyone else would do. And they grumbled against their leader. And Moses in turn cried to God, and God showed Moses a piece of wood or a tree in some translations, which Moses promptly threw into the water. And immediately the water was made sweet, and the Israelites were able to drink it. And Moses then led the people after this experience to a place called Elim, which had 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And one of the things that I really feel that we can draw out from this passage is that it's all about trust. How far are we willing to go to trust God? This is the start of a relationship. This is the start of a covenant with this group of people, okay? They're just getting to know God. God has set them free and brought them through that freedom. But one of the things that God is very aware of when he's working with his people, that these people have been through a lot. They've witnessed a lot. Egypt was a really hard place to live. Egypt is full of memories. Egypt wasn't that long ago. And God wanted to do something in their lives. He could have quite easily have done this amazing miracle with the Red Sea and then just taken them on to a place of blessing. And you're thinking, God, why didn't you do that? Why do we have this place, this water, which they named Marah, which means bitterness? Why did he take them to this place? And it says in the scripture that he wanted to test them. He wanted to let them know that he was God. And he wanted to lead them on a journey which let them know what kind of God that he is. Whatever the bitter obstacles that they were facing, God turned that around and that water became sweet. And it's definitely a challenge to us as Christians when we're living in a pandemic and we ask the question, what are the bitter obstacles that we're experiencing right now? It's very easy to get discouraged. It's very easy to look around us and say, life is just not fair, particularly when we feel we've been robbed of many things. I've been journeying with families that have lost loved ones and have had to go through funeral services where they've been robbed of having a proper service, where all the people that they love and loved the family that they're grieving can't come, and the numbers are reduced to, I think it's 20, it might be less than that now. It's heartbreaking. We have people that are losing jobs. We have people that are families that are struggling at the moment, homeschooling their children, tearing their hair out and saying, God, give me the strength for another day. I remember someone saying recently I don't think as families we've ever, even as couples, people who are married, spent as much time together. So you've got people living on their own who will be struggling, and I'm sure just that whole isolation. And then you've got families that have never spent as much time together, ever. And you have another issue. Sometimes I put my hand up and I say, having a young family is so hard in a pandemic. And then I talk to my sister who's got 4 adult children living in her house. She says, having a house full of 6 adults is really hard. There's so many different challenges in amongst all of this. And it's really easy to become bitter. So one of the questions I just want to raise, because I know that we're all experiencing things in different ways and we're all going through different things, but what are the bitter obstacles that we're encountering right now? Have a think about it. As we come to this passage, immediately after the Lord healed the waters of Marah, he identified himself for who he is, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. And I love this passage because it says here, there the Lord made for them a statue and a rule, and there he tested them, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commands and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. And you might think, well, that's a little bit tough for God to be able to say, you know, these people have been through a lot, they've had this hard life, they've experienced some miraculous outworking of who God is, and then God says to them, right, okay, here's the ground rules. If you do this, it's going to be okay. But he doesn't just do that and say, if you follow me, if you obey, if you listen to me, if you follow my instruction. He comes out with this word that I think just cuts across everything, that says who God is. He says, for I am the Lord who heals. For I am the Lord, your healer. And I think there's something really, really powerful when we speak out those words, because I think, particularly over this last 5 or 6 months as we've been praying, there's just been a really strong sense that God wants to do the miraculous in our church. God wants to bring healing. And I remember just praying in one of our prayer meetings and having this picture of just an idea of how God might do that. And I'm getting very excited and thinking, yeah, God, you're a God who heals. We want to see people heal physically. And you have this picture in your head of what healing looks like. And oh my goodness, as I've journeyed over these last 3-4 months, I realized, you know, healing is about every area of our life. It's about wholeness. God was very detailed when he spoke to this particular group of people, his chosen people, these people he was embarking on this journey with, that he was going to lead and guide and lead them on this journey towards the promised land, because he said something. He says, just before he tells them that I'm the God who heals, he says, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians. I just wonder what it was like to experience everything that happened in Egypt, and particularly that first plague when we looked at it, when the river turned to blood. And I just wonder if there was a fear there. Who is this God that we worship? We saw all these things happening, but then we've also had this experience of this miraculous God. And here is God just talking to his people and saying to them, do you know what? I love you. I care for you. I want you as a people to come into this covenant relationship, which we learn about a little bit more. It's the start of this journey with this particular group of people. There's a closeness, there's an intimacy. He knows what they've gone through. He knows what they're feeling. But one of the things that offers each and every one of us when we come and read this passage, it tells us something incredible about God, and it also tells us something that every single one of us need to know as part of our Christian journey as we live our lives for him. Is that if we want to walk in wholeness and healing, God will give that to us if we ask him. But there is one requirement, and that is obedience. Obedience is something that we don't always do so well in the Western world, or maybe in any world, just in our human nature. Because we like to do things our own way. Sometimes when God asks us to do something and it's too hard, we just sometimes push that little thing to the side, or that little request, or whatever. But actually, to come into that close relationship with God requires obedience. And that is what God asked of these people. And we know as we journey with them through all the different messages that we've had, and as we've journeyed through the book of Exodus, that that's a challenge for these people, and it's a challenge for each and every one of us. What becomes evident in the face of Marah and this place where the people are, the Israelites needed deliverance from more than just Egypt and what they'd experienced. They needed deliverance from the things that were going on within their hearts and within themselves. And you know, God knows as the best. And he knows what you have been through. He knows your past. And one of the things this pandemic is probably teaching many of us at this time is that when everything is stripped away, when your social life becomes non-existent, when meeting up with family and the people that you love and care with can't happen anymore physically, when we learn to live off less money than what we made before because of the economic downturn, when we're faced with complete uncertainty, our human nature is just to completely panic because we have no control over the situation. And here we have God speaking these words that I know you, I love you, I care for you. But if you just do what I ask you to do, and you come into that close relationship and be obedient, I want you to know that I'm a God that's going to be with you in this, and that I'm a God that heals you. One of the scriptures that has come very clearly to the foremost of our mind as we've been praying over these last months, and we've mentioned it quite a lot, and Alistair mentioned it last week, is John 10:10. It says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and life in its fullness. And we can never talk about healing without talking about what Jesus did on that cross, why Jesus came, why God sent Jesus into the world so that we could have that amazing, incredible relationship. So when we read this passage in Exodus, we know God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. But many of us could be sitting here today, and when we think of the first part of that passage, John 10:10, we feel we've been robbed of so much. And one of the reasons we've been praying a lot about this verse is because we ask in the church, be spiritually be aware about what the enemy wants to do in each and every one of your lives. And the only way we're going to get through this is through obedience. And as we become obedient, that's digging into God's word, understanding what God says about each situation, understand God's promises, understanding God's plans and God's purposes. And one of the things that's really, over this last week, I feel like I've had a bit of a revelation for, is the second part of that verse. And it says, Jesus said that I have come that you may have life and life in abundance. And many of us are thinking, I don't know if I could describe my Christian life at the moment as living life and life in abundance. Some of you might be able to say that, and if that's you, that's great. But I know many of us might struggle to say that. When we look at this passage, and after these people had been through and experienced the water going from bitter to sweet, and for God doing that for them, for him coming alongside them and just laying things out and saying, guys, I just need you to get this. If you understand, they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. It was a time of blessing. The 12 springs represented the 12 tribes of Israel. Like, everything was just marked out. You couldn't have had it any more perfect. God wanted them to encounter him and just know the type of God that he was. When we think of abundant life, what does that look like if we draw that parallel? Well, me personally, I was reflecting on it yesterday and I thought, abundant life, it's life with peace. It's that closeness to God. It's healing from the top of my head to the tips of my toe, in a sense of just having that peace with God. Sometimes it's healing in our body, and I pray if we need healing in our body, ask God. Ask God for that miracle. But God wants to heal us inside and outside. It's that recognition of what Jesus has done for us and the knowledge that we live every single minute of the day in his strength. But so many of us, we get hurt, we get stuck, we get discouraged, you know, we break. That could be a good thing or a bad thing. Trials are coming time after time to test us. And sometimes it's very easy to grow bitter. One of the kind of strap lines that I've always kind of lived my life with, and it's very well known, it says that time is a healer. And I read recently that time's not always a healer. Because sometimes when we harbour things over a long period of time, it can actually cause more damage than good. Time is a healer when we allow God to come and heal us. And just one of the challenges I just want to put out this morning as we come to understand more about this incredible God that we love and that we serve is, allow him to come and bring healing to every area of your life. Because that in itself is what is going to help us experience abundant life. This morning is a covenant service, and as we come to make a commitment to God and to each other, I was just reminded of an encouraging story, because sometimes I think the headlines are so full of bad news, particularly at the moment. It's about Nicola Sturgeon stands up every day during the week just to let you know how many thousands of people have died, how many thousands of people have COVID today. And it's really hard and disheartening because she doesn't stand up and say, I just want to let you know how many people have got better, or how many people have survived this, or how many people in that vulnerable category are actually doing okay at the moment. We don't have that information. So everything seemed to be very negative. And particularly in the summer when the pandemic and all the bad news was coming through, I don't know if you all remember Captain Tom. This encouraging man who was 99, and he said, okay, I want to make a difference. If I can just do something that can just make a difference in the midst of all this bad news, then I'll do it. So him and his family got together. They must have sent up a wee, gift page or whatever on the internet, and thought, if I just raise £1,000, that'll be great. He gets his Zimmer frame and he goes outside the front of his house and he's going to walk up and down laps. I don't know what the period of time over that he was going to do, but most of you will know the story and will have seen it on the headlines. But this man captured the nation. Because you think, wow, what, someone at that age thinks that is incredible. The end figure to what he raised was £32 million. He was a former British Army officer, and it was the run-up to his 100th birthday, you know. And what I find is even more hilarious was the fact that he sang a song with Michael Ball, and the song was that you'll never walk alone. And that just reminded me The nation captured that song because that's what people needed at that time. They needed to know that there was a hope and there was a purpose, that we're not in this alone, in the midst of all this bad news. But as Christians and as we come together as a church and we make a covenant today, it's a reminder to every one of us that we are not walking alone. And the secret to the healing that we long for and that we desire and that God will do in our lives is obedience. And I just really want to challenge you this morning to think, you know, is there anything in your life that you're bitter about at the moment? That you need a miracle, you need God to change from bitter to sweet. And don't wait long. As you come in, fill your mind with his word. Sometimes the start of the healing process is for us just to pick up our Bible and speak out a verse of scripture and say, God, I'm not there yet, but this is what your word says. And I'm speaking it out by faith that one day I'll be able to believe that for myself. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much that you are an amazing God. Lord, you love us too much to leave us the way we are. And it's so easy right now to lose our focus. I thank you, Lord, that you're the God who looks after us and we'd have to learn to trust you. And I recognize that's a process. Father, I know that you're a God that loves us. We thank you for what Jesus did on the cross for us. Lord, show us how to be obedient so that we can receive that full healing that you have for each and every one of us. Lord, we cry out for abundant life for every single one of us as an individual in this church and for us corporately as a church. As we speak out by faith, words to encourage and to commit to one another, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.